My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
The echo is down, the vibes are up, and we are here on a Friday. That guy right there is James Hamm. This guy right here is Kyle Madsen. And boy, you know, I got to tell you, I was so excited yesterday after the show. Going, man, the Kings in a great spot. You can get a dub. Tough game tonight for the Pelicans. They're in Orlando. Not an easy game. Orlando, you know, tough team. Maybe Kings can gain a little ground tonight, pick up a little momentum. And then, yikes, dude.
Kyle,
I don't...
You can injure yourself laying an egg that big. I mean, I just got to be honest. That doesn't feel good, dude, to lay an egg that big. Like,
no, here,
you just... There's going to be, like, all kinds of damage.
Look, dude, so there's two ways to look at this, right?
Is there, Kyle?
There is. Okay, so hang on. Here's the rational way to do this, and then we'll do a radio show. The rational way to look at last night is the Kings were on the second night of a road back-to-back. They had a tough time getting up for the worst team in basketball. But defensively, they were still good for the most part. Couple of lapses, but still pretty good for the most part. And they shot the ball terribly. The shots just didn't go in. They took a loss. It, you know, timing stinks, but they're on to Orlando. They still have an opportunity with two games coming up against Dallas to get right. And recently we've seen enough good things from them to think, okay, they're still... On the other hand, it's the Washington Wizards! Shorthanded!
The most unserious basketball team in the NBA.
They lack seriousness in droves.
Kyle, are they...
What the hell was that?
Are they the best 12-team win in the NBA?
No! No, they're not, James! Dude, I don't care how badly you play. You beat that team. You win that game. It's not... Look, okay. Jordan Poole, okay? Jordan Poole is, well, first of all, key contributor on an NBA champion. He's been a disaster the last couple years, but Jordan Poole on any given night can give you 40. He didn't do that last night.
Nope.
Nothing crazy happened. The Wizards just kind of won. The Kings didn't shoot it great, but still, you should be able to do enough offensively against the worst defensive team maybe in history. And you post 102 points?
Yeah, Kyle. It was so forced. Oh. Everything was forced. Nothing looked fluid. They didn't have their shot at all. Then, you know, you had Keegan Murray come out and like, hey, I can't hit a three, but I can hit a bunch of mid-range jump shots.
Great.
Then he just like Rip Van Winkled himself through the second and third quarter, like just completely disappeared. Mm-hmm. Like, what happened? Like, where did you go?
He's gone.
And then you had De'Aaron Fox, like, miss his first nine shots and went on to take another 22.
That's so many shots. 30. He wound up with 30.
Oh, I thought he was at 31.
I've got him here at 30.
Okay.
But still, 20 plus. Finished the night. I've got 10 of 30, 5 of 15 from beyond the arc.
Well, he just kept shooting. He kept shooting, and then you had the meltdown by Malik Monk at the end of the game, who was horribly frustrated and angry, which I don't blame him.
As he should be.
Yep.
That was the best thing that happened last night, was Malik Monk showing that kind of anger at losing this game, which, like you said, that you should.
Well, you can't lose any more games like this. We keep saying that, and you do it again. And because of that, you tumble to 8. Yeah. And rightfully so.
That's the other aspect of this, dude, is not only did you fall to the Wizards, which if they had gone into Toronto and Toronto wins that game, it's like, okay, bad, but, you know, Toronto, well-coached team, got a couple of talented guys, you know. Hey.
Five guys out, man.
I know, but still, you can. There's a way I think you could talk yourself into it.
Yep.
This is abominable, dude. And on top of losing that game, just in a vacuum, losing to the Wizards is bad. But then you get the Suns beating Atlanta.
Yep.
You get the Mavericks beating Utah. And the Pelicans lost.
And not only did the Pelicans lose, but they lost Brandon Ingram. And it, like they're saying, at least 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. Shams Charania reported this morning it's a knee contusion. He avoided a major injury. He's out at least 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, bone bruise in the knee.
Yeah. Yeah. We can dive into the ramifications of that here in a bit. But that last night was a great opportunity for the Kings to gain ground on the Pelicans, keep the Suns and Mavericks behind them, and now instead of gaining on 5, they fall to 8. The timing could not have been worse.
No.
And maybe it's the travel. Maybe they've been playing well enough lately, and I think they have. Maybe they've been playing well enough lately that they went, oh, hey, we can toss our jerseys on the court and win this one.
Yeah, but it's just excuses, man.
I get it doesn't make any, it's bad. Because you just said it. Okay, you do that against Charlotte in whatever that was, December. Okay, not good. But your margin of error there is gone.
Yeah.
In a race this tight for playoff spots, you don't get this one anymore. Mm-hmm. You don't get to brush this one off and go, it's fine. Yeah. If they played that game 10 times, would the Kings win 9 of them, the next 9? Yeah, probably.
I would have said they would have won 10, Kyle.
They should. And that's the issue. Isn't a middle of the road team. This isn't the Bulls. This isn't even the Jazz. Where it's like, okay, middle of the road team, should probably beat them, but you know they beat you. They have a couple of good guys who went off. It's fine. No, no, you don't get that. This is as bad as it gets, and it's not. And again, back to rationality here for a second. It's not like over. It's not. They're stuck in the 8 seed now.
No, it's not. The sky is not falling.
But also, this is terrible. It's like you went to a really. Here's how I'm going to describe this. We like food on this show.
Yeah, we do.
Here's how. It's like going to a great restaurant. What's the one? Is it a Napa French Laundry?
Okay.
It's
yes.
A Michelin star restaurant. Yes. In fact, you know what? I've been to, not to brag, I've been to a Michelin star restaurant called Fiola in DC.
Okay.
It's like you go to Fiola in DC, okay? And you pull up and you're like, wow, this is a Michelin star restaurant. This is great. And you go in there and you know what? First course, bad. Not good. Really bad. That's not okay. You're paying this much money to get a good, the whole meal may not suck.
Yeah.
But this in itself is really, really bad.
Mm.
Strained metaphor, but you get it.
No, I'm with you. Like there has to be at some point, like we always talk about accountability. We talk about like players only meetings. We talk about like who's to blame for these things. And you just watch the game play out. And the only thing you can like while you're watching it is just, they just aren't ready to play.
That was it.
And that's not like a coaching issue.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only so many guys that Mike Brown can turn to. I mean, he turned to Kessler Edwards and got good minutes out of Kessler Edwards.
Yeah.
But he, like, who else do you turn to? There is no Sasha Vezenkov. There is no Trey Lyles. There is no Kevin Huerter. So you're down to 12 guys. And of the 12 guys, two of them are backup centers. Like, where are you going to find something different? And this is one of those games where just keep looking around and going, okay, like, look, everyone knew the assignment. Everybody knew what this game meant. How do you walk out on the floor and look like you weren't ready at all? And I don't get it.
Sense.
Like, I, you know, there are plenty of times where you can watch a team that's just bad that does this. Well, this team isn't bad.
No.
You know, you had an opportunity to go 13 games over 500. Just sitting there, first time this season, 13 games over 500. You had a chance, again, to get to 50 wins.
Man.
And now you're going to be scrambling because Orlando is a good team. And everyone wants to say, oh, well, Philly's not playing well. It doesn't matter what Philly looks like. Every time they play you, they look like the Boston Celtics.
Sure.
So, yeah, that doesn't matter what Philly looks like today because and then you come back home and you got these two games against the Dallas Mavericks that mean at this point they will mean everything. And the worst part is, in my mind, what I'm thinking, the Kings are going to find a way to somehow beat the Dallas Mavericks two games in a row and then lose to the Utah Jazz the next game.
That's 1,000%.
Because that's who they are. Like,
it's extra disappointing because they went into Toronto and won that game so decisively. Where it was never in doubt. It wasn't, they didn't even flirt with letting the Raptors come back. They just buried them. And we went, wow, that was great to see. We have not seen that in months where they just crush a worse team.
Yep.
And you combine that with them stuffing the Lakers in a locker again and they crushed the Bucks. And you're going, okay, here they are.
Yep.
This is what we expected this team to look like. Maybe they've turned a little bit of a corner, and then this happens.
Yep.
And it's just, you wrote down on the rundown, and I think it is a perfect encapsulation of what this kind of is the Kings once again show us who they are. And it's disappointing because two nights ago, you went, oh, hey, maybe it's a little different. Maybe they're flipping a switch. And then faceplant.
Faceplant.
Against the worst team they've faced all year.
Yeah, they came into that game 9-5 after the All-Star break. And like, and for all the talk about their defense, their defensive rating right now, they've moved all the way up to 15th in the league. It doesn't matter. This team wins when they score. They are now 5-25 on the season when they don't score 120. They're unbeatable almost when they score 120.
Yeah.
And they go in against a bad defensive team, a horrific...
Arguably the worst.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just a bad defensive team, and you can't score. Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense, man. The Wizards have a defensive rating of 120.4. It's last in the league, by the way.
Yeah, that's bad.
If somebody told me that was the worst defensive rating of all time, I would believe them.
It's possible.
They're giving up 123.9 points per game. And this offensive juggernaut Kings team put up 102.
What else is there to say? Like, it's, like really,
I mean,
hit your shots, move the ball. You know, for some reason, all of a sudden, Domantas Sabonis over the last couple of games, his assist numbers are down. Like, move the ball. His assist numbers are down because his teammates aren't hitting shots, but also he's not moving the ball the same way. You know, he has six turnovers in this game. That's not acceptable.
You can't have as many turnovers as made shots.
Yeah.
That's tough.
I just, you know, again, the balance of shots was so far skewed. And and again, I would like to say, hey, Keegan Murray should have just shot the whole game. But I also watched him on the defensive end. And for as good as he's been on the defensive end this year, he was not last night. And you couldn't keep him on the floor. And that's why Kessler Edwards came in the game.
He was a minus 21.
Yeah.
Keegan was last night.
Well, and look at what Kessler Edwards posts.
Yeah, Kessler Edwards in 9 minutes was a plus 12.
9 minutes, plus 12.
Kessler's Hive, stand up. We hear. All right. Coming up at 11 o'clock, Dr. Nirav Pandya. He is a good buddy of mine. He is the What is his official title now? He is the professor of orthopedic surgery at UCSF. He's also the director of sports medicine at UCF Benioff Children's Hospital. He is an injury analyst for 95.7 The Game, our sister station in San Francisco. He will be joining us at 11 to talk about Kevin Herter's injury, and then we'll also talk about this Brandon Ingram injury, which may have a ripple effect that that affects the Kings. We will talk about that as well. But before we do all that, we got to get to six quick thoughts. James Hamm, six quick thoughts coming up next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Aldrin Jay in the chatty house got it right. Maybe we'll just skip Kings talk today. Let's talk tournament.
James's six quick thoughts on the tournament.
That bleep, Kentucky. That 34-year-old dude from Oakland really crushing it.
Yeah. Kentucky can...
Graduated college in 2006, but he's back.
Yeah.
You know what was silly is I thought for sure, because I wasn't locked into that game until people were like, hey, this guy's 6-for-8 from three or whatever. And I was like, who is that? I expected him to just have a sweet looking jumper, right?
Yeah.
It was ugly.
Oh.
I did not find his jumper aesthetically pleasing at all.
But it goes in.
It goes in. I'm not not. Shoot it if you can make what do you go 9 of 10 of 20 or something from three, whatever he was from three. If you can do that every time, I don't care how your jumper looks, keep shooting it, bro.
Okay,
I was just expecting this really Oakland.
Okay,
Jack Gehlke, I think. But yeah, he just had this weird, like, he arches his back, like, that he goes and. It's not a good looking jumper.
Sounds like what you're describing is Tyreek Evans.
Yeah, but he doesn't fall away. He just gets really vertical, and then his back does, like, it's not.
Huh.
I thought for sure I was gonna be like, wow, textbook.
Textbook. He's money.
Yeah. I don't think he shot a single two. I'm pretty sure all of his field goal attempts were three-pointers.
And how old is he?
He's probably in his early 20s. He looks old as hell, though.
Oh, got it.
Also, real quick, to that guy, we have six quick thoughts here coming up in a second. He said after the game, he's like, we're not a Cinderella. Like, no, you're not. You won one game.
he was trying to say it in a completely different
way. If he shot, if he only made 8 threes, they lose.
That's why.
We're not a Cinderella. Yeah, bro, you got to make a run first. Can you get to the Sweet 16? Can you do that and then talk Cinderella?
I also, like, this guy's going right back to Pilwaukee, Wisconsin.
Pilwaukee?
Pilwaukee.
Get out of town.
P-E-W-A-U-K-E-E.
He is from Pewaukee?
Pewaukee. Pewaukee. Wow. Wow.
Oh my God! Per Ramsey in the chatty house, Jack Gehlke has only shot 8 2-point shots all season.
Oh my gosh!
Going to get waxed by NC State. Oh, it's gonna be so bad. Let's get to six quick thoughts, and we can keep talking tournament.
All right, let's rock this thing.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go?
Shut up. Number one.
There is no
quick thoughts.
All right.
I need a bell now.
Number one, sorry.
There's no telling where the Kings would be without Malik Monk in this one. They would have blown out by 30 points against the league's worst team. He brought energy, 20 points, 4 assists, and was angry.
Good for him.
Yeah. Try to bail him out.
He did his best. Number two.
De'Aaron Fox was stuck in the mud. He started 0 for 9, coming up short on almost shot every shot he took. He woke up in the second, but it was tough sledding. He finished game 25 points, 5 assists, 6 steals. 6 steals matched a career high, but he shot 10 of... I have 31. They must have taken away a shot attempt last night because that's exactly what I remember it saying. But yeah, not a great game, man. Not a great game.
No, it was, but I mean...
Just kept shooting.
We said it a couple days ago. The Kings are going to go as far as De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk take them. And if De'Aaron Fox is going to need 31 shots to score 25 points, I don't think that's going to get them very far.
Yep.
That's kind of what it is.
Yeah, I totally agree. It looked like Domantas Sabonis's double streak might come to an end when he got off to a slow start. He got outplayed by Rashawn Holmes.
Tough.
I don't even know what to say outside of that. 14 points, 14 rebounds, 6 turnovers, extended his double-double streak to 52 games.
Great.
But after last night, that's bad. There's been a couple of games in the last, like here at the end of the streak,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, in the last like 4 games that felt like they were trying to get him as double-double, and this was not great.
The thing that jumps out to me is the 9 field goal attempts.
Yeah.
The fourth quarter. Oh, is that me or you?
Me.
Okay. In the fourth quarter, 0 field goal attempts, 0 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 turnovers. Like, that's just, bro. I need more than that.
Yeah, and he played, what did he play, like 27 minutes the night before?
Yeah.
Like, I get it. But
yeah, we were all in the like, man, he gets some rest. Now you get to go in, you get to beat the Wizards.
Nope.
Just not a great showing from Domas, particularly against a team where like it was bad for them that Marvin Bagley was out. It was like, oh no, Marvin Bagley's out. They're gonna be a little thin up front.
Yeah,
and I mean, credit to Rashawn Holmes, he had a heck of a game. Number four,
Keegan Murray came out looking for a shot, scored 8 points in the first quarter, and then went dormant. Finally hit a shot in the late third, and then 2 more in the fourth to give him 16. Man, he needs to stay aggressive. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing, Kyle?
It is my greatest concern with him as a player.
Yeah.
There is nothing about his skill set on either end that concerns me. I think his ceiling as a defender and as a shooter and as a scorer is super high. But this... oh, yeah, I'm going to go 4-for-4, 4-for-5 in the first quarter, and then that's all you'll hear from me the rest of the night? That's got to stop.
It's got to stop. And I don't know how you like aggressively push him to do more,
mm-hmm.
but it can't just be for 12 minutes. And then maybe you get a couple of shots late. Like, he is not part of the game plan in the fourth quarter. The fact that he hit 2 threes, okay. Like, first of all, where were those early on? Because his first 2 threes were way off and they're wide open.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's got to be more aggressive. And you know, we talked about this final 20 games, 30 games, him needing to take this step. He's not doing that. And not only that, but he looks like he's wearing out a bit on the defensive end. And, you know, maybe it is just he's exhausted, but you can't allow Kyle Kuzma to go 13 of 22 from the field for 31 points.
Yeah, it's not good.
Like, this is a bad team. You cannot allow something like that to happen. Yeah, it's just brutal.
Yeah. And if you don't have it that night on the defensive end, if you're getting worked, then go put in work on the other end.
Yeah.
But 7 of 11, I'm sorry. Like, the efficiency is great, but I need way more than that from Keegan.
Yeah, if you're 7 of 11, we need 11 for 15.
I need that in the first half.
Yeah.
When you're that hot.
Yeah.
Number 5.
Made an impact. Chris Duarte came off the bench in Toronto and gave the Kings a lift. In this one, it was Kessler Edwards who stepped on the floor and instantly made a defensive impact. Mm-hmm. He grabbed 3 rebounds, scored 3 points, picked up a steal. He also ran plus 12 in 9 minutes. I thought Kessler was good. And again, he's just showing you what you have to have on this team.
Typically when Kessler plays, there's I feel like not a chicken with its head cut off, but definitely kind of a baby giraffe. Like, not 100% sure of where he's supposed to be and where, but he was really aggressive last night and looked much more confident in what he was supposed to be doing.
Yeah, I think like the baby giraffe is like a perfect way to describe it. Just like a little unsure, a little shaky, like
step
might fall
late,
down at any time.
Step late to a closeout because he wasn't 100% sure that's where he should be. But
it's just a lack of confidence. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Last one, number 6.
Thud. The Kings dropped to 40-29 on the season with a loss. I would like to tell you that this one stands out, but the Kings have become known for these types of letdowns all season
really
long.
Bad. Really bad.
Yeah.
You mentioned this earlier, and I meant to pick up on it. You said I can't remember if you said this on air or off, so I apologize, but I'm going to say this because I feel the same way.
Okay.
I didn't ever feel like they were going to win last night.
Never. I never felt like, I watched them like, oh no, they're going to lose this game.
It was 35-27 at the end of the first quarter. I'm like, okay, you come out, go on a little run. Nope. Nothing.
Yeah, even you get to the mid-third quarter and Keegan hit a couple of shots, you're like, just to climb back in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, they were down by a ton.
They
went
fighting
down by 19
a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, the whole game. And I don't want to hear, oh, well, it took a lot to bring us back into the... No.
You shouldn't
no.
be down that much yeah. to this team.
Yeah.
No, really bad. what an uplifting six quick thoughts. We'll have a Jiffy Lube Fast Break player of the game for you in the next segment. And then we'll also take a look around the NBA because not only was the Kings game not pretty, but the entire scoreboard not great for the Kings last night. We'll tell you what it is next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile, and on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Killing me, Kyle.
He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Someday we'll learn how to do a radio show.
That's
someday.
Right. Someday.
That's what I'm hoping. Yuck. Gross game for the Kings last night. And to make matters worse, and I think this is exacerbating the issue here. Because if the Kings had lost to the Wizards, we would be here like, man, that's a tough loss.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Suns had lost and the Mavericks had lost... and the Pelicans lost, and the Kings were still sitting there in the sixth seed, we'd be like, yeah, okay, but, you know, EOD, end of the day, they're at the sixth seed still, so everything's fine. But that's not what happened.
Nope.
The New Orleans Pelicans lost 121-106 in Orlando, mm-hmm. where the Kings visit next, by the way. Big deal here, Brandon Ingram hurt his knee in that one, left the game. And Shams Charania reported today. Now, it is a knee contusion is what it's being called. And Shams said that they are not anticipating or that he avoided a major injury and they're not anticipating him to miss major time. It'll be like a couple of weeks at least.
Okay. Okay, this is a tough one because this is a bone bruise. Like, straight up, it's a bone bruise because you don't hyper... He didn't get... Like, De'Aaron Fox had a knee contusion, right? Somebody yes. came in and hit him in the side of the knee, and he yes. had a bruise on the side of his knee. This is not a knee contusion. This is a bone bruise.
Mm-hmm.
So that's different, especially inside the knee, because this, to me, when you hyperextend and you saw it pop back.
It was ugly.
That's boom. That's your knee hitting your, so your the top of your femur hitting the top of your, like, that's a bone bruise inside your knee.
It was one of the ones where, like, it did this. Like, the knee did.
It started to
backwards.
Taco backwards, and then it even popped. And I thought, oh, man, I hope he didn't dislocate his knee.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, for me, when you look at that injury, you can say what you want. But, like, I remember when Marvin Bagley was young. He went up for a rebound, got kind of knocked backwards, and he came down and he hit his heel on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a bone bruise inside his knee. And... I think he missed 20 games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is, they're saying 2 weeks, and that's a big deal because the Kings play them again, I think, on the 11th.
April 11th, yeah.
Yeah,
about
so.
About 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's about 2.5 weeks, two and a half, 3 weeks. So I don't know when he's going to be back, but that team could easily have a rough go here. They do have good depth,
here's where they're at. I'm interested to see where they're going to get their scoring from outside of Zion. Maybe it's just a lot of CJ McCollum and that can carry them, or Trey Murphy or Herb Jones, and maybe they stay afloat. But they're at Miami for their next game. This is over the next 2 weeks. This is their next 8 games.
Okay.
At Miami, then at Detroit, but then Oklahoma City at home.
Mm.
These are all in New Orleans. Oklahoma City, Milwaukee, Boston, Phoenix, Orlando,
it's
and then
great.
San Antonio.
It's not great.
That's a tough stretch, man. There's a real chance, and maybe the Pelicans just figure it out. Maybe Zion goes superhuman, and the other scorers I just mentioned, McCollum and Jones and Murphy, all just start going off, and everything's fine. But there's a real chance where over their next 8 games, they go like 2-6.
Mm.
And that opens the door so wide for a team to jump up and overtake them for the 5 seed.
Yeah, Kyle. So the Kings were, this is so painful to look at. If they would have won last night, they would be 41-28. They'd be a game back in the loss column and a game back. So a game total. Like, that's what you blew with that game last night.
Yeah, one full game. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, you would have been right there. You would have been at 41-28, not 40-29. Now you're 2 games back of that team, and just the opportunity was right there for the taking. And the other two teams behind, you would still be ahead of them. So, yeah, the league just keeps, it wants to shrink. Like, this whole middle section in the West wants to shrink.
Yeah.
And the Kings, like, you got to be on your A game every single night, man.
Yeah, that's it. Just
yeah.
The Ingram injury is interesting though, and I'm fascinated to see how the Pelicans respond because they're a team I was very high on.
Yeah,
but man, if he's gonna wind up missing like the rest of the regular season because they want to make sure he's good for the playoffs, they might wind up in the play-in.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very, very real chance of that happening. The other couple of games that mattered for the Kings last night: the Mavericks took care of the Jazz, 113-97. Very quietly here, Dallas has won 3 straight.
Yeah.
Including one against Denver.
Well, and I like the way you phrase that. They took care of the Jazz. That's we're not asking the Kings to go out and beat Boston.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be nice.
Yeah, you're not saying, hey, we need you to string together like it's this 8 games here leading up to the final 8 games.
Yeah.
The final 8 games is like
it's a gauntlet.
It's a gauntlet, exactly. And if you can't find a way to get through this stretch at like 6-2 or 7-1. Now you just gave away one. Now, like, if you finish it this stretch at 5-3 or at 4-4, you are a play-in team.
Yes.
Like, done.
Definitively.
Done. You're a play-in team.
Yes.
So,
and this was that's the other thing that makes last night so disappointing is, like, of all the games, we said 6-2 because it was 8 after the next game, right? It was Knicks game and then the next eight.
Yeah, yeah.
So we went, okay, if you lose to the Knicks, fine, because you've got these eight games coming up where you're looking, trying to go 7-1, 6-2. But that was under the pretense of, okay, you're going to go beat Toronto, you're going to go beat Washington.
Yep. And you're going to beat Memphis to start the eight games.
And you're going to beat Memphis.
So you're
going
to start 3-0. So then it's the final five games. Like, how are you going to do? You got a coin flip game with Orlando. You got the 76ers are playing atrocious basketball.
They're really bad.
You've got a Jazz team at the end of it, which you know you can beat. And then you've got the two games against Dallas, and you're hoping for a split. That's what you're looking at. So a coin flip, a game you should win, a split, and a win. Now this puts all of that, now there is no more coin flip. Like, you can't have a coin flip game.
Nope.
You got to go into Orlando and find a way.
That's a tough team that took you to two overtimes at Golden 1 earlier this year.
Yeah, and I want to bring up, like Sass put in the chatty house, disappointed but not unexpected. That's, like, spot on. It's not unexpected. But you started to feel like maybe they turn the corner. Maybe Houston's just a bad matchup, and that's why they lose to the Rockets. And, like, realistically, this team has played much better lately. And then they go and they do something like last night.
Yeah, not a good look.
No.
Meanwhile, you have Dallas, who just won three in a row, just beat the Nuggets, beat a couple of bad teams, and now they're ahead of you in the standings.
Yeah.
The Suns, same kind of deal, 128-115 over the Hawks. The Suns aren't lighting the world on fire by any stretch, but they've won four of their last five, and they're taking advantage of a bad schedule.
Mm-hmm.
A soft schedule. Things get a little more difficult for them down the stretch, but they're beating the teams they should beat.
Yeah.
And that's not what the Kings did last night.
Well, that, and I just want to point out, like, the remaining strength of schedule, this is why we talk about, again, the Wizards game. The Kings now have the third most difficult strength of schedule left on the season, a 562 win percentage. And then the team above them, the number two most difficult strength of schedule, is Phoenix. They both had a soft spot in their schedule building up to a huge finish.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the Kings were at. Like, I think even, like, percentage wise, like, most of the predicting things coming into yesterday's game had the Kings around 40-45% chance of making the playoffs, not the play-in, but actually, you know, making one of the top six seeds.
Yeah.
Not great. So, and then on the other hand, you got Dallas, who has, like, the 22nd most difficult schedule. They have 477 strength of schedule against.
Sass in the chatty house also says, this team needs a Ron Artest or Doug Christie who doesn't let the team half-ass games. That's what I thought somebody like Malik Monk would be. Or De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
And it's just, you see Monk try, but as a sixth man, you can only do so much. And everybody's going to look at Fox. Everybody's going to look at Domas because those are the two guys who are going to be the top dogs on the court. And, okay, you can have Malik Monk out there all, you know, going to the tunnel early because he's frustrated and he wants the team to just give as much of a damn as he does. But I don't know who else is doing that. If you have one guy who's pissed, okay, great. That needs to funnel down to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be the game in Detroit earlier this year, where they gave up 48 points in the first quarter or 52 points in the first quarter, just
outlandish,
ridiculous.
Yeah, I think it was 49.
But eventually, they looked at the team across the court from them or down the court from them and went, "Oh, they're terrible," and they put that game in a vice and blew them out.
Mm-hmm.
And they just didn't get that last night. And it's just, it's odd, dude. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it at all. Hey, can we do a little palate cleanser?
Okay.
And talk about literally anything other than this?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
We should just go grab a donut and, like, cleanse the palate.
All right. So, D'Lo and Casey yesterday.
Okay.
Had a moment that I need everybody to see. I don't know if you're familiar with the episode of Saved by the Bell where I don't know the characters' names. Saved by the Bell. There's two types of millennials. There are, shout out to the Ringer NFL show or fantasy draft show or fantasy show. Jeez Louise. Who they say there's two types of millennials. It's Saved by the Bell millennials and SpongeBob millennials.
Mm.
I'm a SpongeBob millennial.
Okay.
Not a Saved by the Bell millennial. But here's Kenny reenacting a famous scene from Saved by the Bell. Let's see if I can get this to go.
Time! There's never any time!
You don't get the Saved by the Bell reference? All right, that's fine.
I don't have time to do my hair. Well, I don't have time to study for test. You know what? You know what? Everything will be fine. I just have to take one of these. Everything will be fine. Wait, wait, you really are taking drugs? Jesse, no. Give me that. Give me that. I need them, Zach. I need them. I can sing. You cannot sing. You cannot sing. I can't sing. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
I'm done. I quit. This show's over.
That's why he's the good
time.
There's that was incredible stuff from Kenny Caraway reenacting Saved by the Bell.
Okay, so I did forget the episode. Yeah. So Jesse is a girl that's taking, like, Adderall.
Speed.
Adderall. Yeah. Oh, that's
incredible.
Uppers.
It was amazing. I've only ever seen that scene just by itself.
Okay.
Like a couple of times.
You didn't watch any of Saved by the Bell?
Saved
by the Bell is probably too old.
When was Saved by the Bell on?
It's early 90s.
Yeah, so I remember it. Like, I remember the show existing. But it premiered in 1989. I was not born
89,
yet.
Yep.
And it went off of television in 1993, in May of 93, when I was two.
Yeah.
So I guess reruns were around, but by the time I was old enough to, like, remember and watch TV,
mm-hmm.
I was on to different things. I was more of a Boy Meets World guy.
This is prime my generation, like, very much so.
Yeah.
Like, everyone loved Kelly Kapowski.
For sure.
Yeah, it's either that or you were, like Elizabeth Berkley is Jessie from the show,
mm-hmm.
She did Showgirls, which, like, destroyed her career. But this crew here, yeah, they were everything.
Yeah, I remember the show existing.
Yep.
And I very vaguely, but I couldn't tell you anything about it.
Yeah, like, Zach was the coolest dude of all time.
Right.
That's, like, everyone wanted to have, like, Zach haircut.
Zach Slater?
No, that's
Slater's
Mario.
Slater's a different character?
AC Slater is Mario Lopez.
Right, who's still around. Shout out to Mario.
Yeah, well,
looks
so
exactly
is,
the same.
So is Mark Paul Gosselaar. He's still Zach from, he still does stuff.
So, oddly enough, Saved by the Bell started on my mother's 29th birthday.
Okay.
And then I was born the next year, 5 days before the one-year anniversary of Saved by the Bell.
Yeah. No, it was a great show. Absolutely.
Yeah, RIP Dustin Diamond.
Yes.
I agree. See, Aldrin J is probably closer to my age range. Boy Meets World is better than Saved by the Bell. And I'm sure there's people who would argue against that.
Hmm.
If anybody's tapped into ESPN 1320 right now and is like, why are they talking old TV shows? It's because the Kings stunk last night and it's depressing to talk about.
We need to forget about it.
Just in case you're wondering what the hell's going on.
So I grew up I went to my grandma's house all the time. She had a black and white TV in her bedroom and we would watch like Perry Mason every day. Like, I watched Perry Mason, like, nonstop. Like, not the 80s Perry Mason, like the 60s Perry Mason, Della Street.
Big Matlock guy?
No, not a big Matlock guy, but yeah, I did watch, like, the Andy Griffith show, like old reruns of the Andy Griffith show.
Oh my God.
Andy Griffin. There we go.
I've heard the name Perry Mason, but I've never watched this.
Oh, okay.
You know what old show I'm working toward getting caught up on? I'm getting caught up on some more contemporary stuff first.
Okay.
You know, Star Wars, things of that ilk. The Twilight Zone.
Oh, the original
Twilight
Zone? The
OG Twilight Zones. I actually really liked the Jordan Peele ones as well.
Okay.
The Jordan Peele Twilight Zones are also very good, but the OG ones, because the show's just a little off putting in general, right? It's just a little unsettling. That's the goal of the program.
Yes.
But watching it now in 2024 and adding to the unsettledness is just the fact that it's black and white. it's that old style of, you know, kind of like, come here, doll. Like that kind of acting.
Yeah.
It just, it makes it a little more unsettling. It's a great, great show. I love the mind state that show puts me in.
Okay. I watched all of them when I was young. Yeah. And then, you know, you watched like Gilligan's Island. You weren't around for Gilligan's Island.
Again, that's another show. So many of these shows exist in my conscience.
Mm-hmm.
I know what Gilligan's Island is.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell you anything about it.
Okay.
I know there's a character named Gilligan.
Yeah. And then like Little House.
I used to know the song.
Oh, yeah. The 3-hour tour.
Yeah, that one, yeah.
Yeah, and then everyone, like 80% of America, or maybe like 68% of America, would all like be around their TV on Friday night to watch Little House on the Prairie. Mm. Like it was like the biggest show ever with Michael Landon. Yeah.
That's fascinating. One of the things in the National Archives in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
they have the deed to the house that Little House on the Prairie is about.
Oh, okay.
That's my knowledge of that show.
All right.
Other than that, never seen it.
Oh, that's crazy.
Like, we are separated by...
A decade and a half.
We're far enough apart in age that we just have very different pop culture experiences.
No, totally, totally. I think someone posted today that people over 35 are the ones that use GIFs all the time, or GIFs, whatever you want to call them.
GIFs. It's a hard G. Come on.
Okay. Whatever. I'm just saying, like, people will. But those, like, when you get into a response back and forth with people, you see that for me all the time.
GIFs?
Like, yeah. And I make movie references all the time, or I put weird stuff back and forth.
I'm a big GIF guy.
That's how I like communicate completely. So.
Yeah. One of the great things Twitter ever did was putting the GIF keyboard on the site where you wouldn't, because if you remember, I don't know if you do, but when Twitter first started, if you wanted to put a GIF in there, well, first you couldn't put pictures in there at all.
Mm-hmm.
You had to do a TwitPic link. But when you first started to be able to put images on your tweets, you had to go like Google the wire stringer bell GIF.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd have to scroll through and find it, save it to your computer, and then upload it to Twitter. It was a pain.
Oh, yeah.
And then Twitter just put the GIFy website right there. You just click on it, search, throw a GIF up.
It's awesome. This is a great discussion. Like, I grew up on Bonanza and reruns of, like, The Monkees, which, again, some people won't know at all. But, like, all of these were reruns. Like, and reruns actually mattered then because there were no streaming.
Yeah.
And the other thing was, people don't get, until like the late 70s and early 80s, that's when VCRs, like you had the two that came out, the Beta and the VHS, right?
There's an episode of That 70s Show where they get a VCR and it's a huge deal.
It's a huge deal because you could then record a show that you might miss. And then your tapes got really crappy really quick. And, you know, like you're always sitting there messing with your VCR. Then you'd have to clean the heads on your VCR all the time. Like it was, but before that, if you missed a show, it was gone. And then you would have to wait like 5 years for it to go to syndicate and come back. Even like when I worked at a video store,
mm-hmm.
when I was young, I was there when it first came out that you could buy VHS tapes, like places. Like you could go and it used to be like if you screwed up a VHS tape at a shop, mm-hmm. you had to pay like $80 to replace it because that's how much they cost. Like VHS tapes cost like $85 or $120. Like in order for a video store to get their money back on a VHS tape, they had to rent it out like 70 days straight just to make their money back.
What?
And then after that, it's old and no one wants to watch it anymore. It goes
on
the shelf.
That's crazy. Right?
And then it was when Jurassic Park and I think it was like there was a Tom Cruise movie that came out.
Mission Impossible.
Top Gun? I think it was after Top Gun. At Top Gun, you couldn't buy. It was called Sell Through.
Gun was what, like 87?
I believe it was The Firm. And 86. The Firm came out on two tapes. It was two tapes, and you had to switch tapes in the middle, because if you ran a VCR for more than 2 hours, your VCR would heat up and stretch the tape and eventually break the tape. So, like, that's, again, you had to, like, it's a weird, the history of, and it wasn't until then that video VHS tapes came out, and they were about $30, and then you'd have a bunch of pre-orders. People would come in, and they'd order a bunch of them. Like, they would order them and pay for, as opposed to like $1 for a to rent a movie.
Right.
They pay like 30, and as soon as we got the movies in, people would come in and get their copies.
This is, I grew up with VHS tapes, but I never knew that if they ran for more than 2 hours, the tape would break.
That's why you had the double boxes. So you'll see double boxes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and it's not just like Ben-Hur as a double box, but like any movie. And that's, I also think why movies started to get shorter and shorter, because they were cognizant of that in the 80s and then in the 90s, that you couldn't run a tape too long or it would heat up and it would eventually melt the tape. And so you, and again, for a video store, you buy these movies, and if they don't last the 70 days, you just take a bath on it every time.
Yeah. Oof.
Yeah. So, and that's why there's always,
what,
like,
an incredible business model.
There's like 8 copies of a movie, right? Or if you go to like a mom and pop shop, there's only like 3 copies of a movie.
There are people listening to this who are old enough to drink, who are like, these two guys, it's as if we're like, and then you'd take a hammer behind the chisel and you'd write the words. I can literally talk to my remote now and go, turn on Netflix. And it takes me to a treasure trove of movies.
That's right.
And do you know what I do? I scroll through it for 40 minutes and go, God, there's nothing to watch. God, I don't. Nothing to watch, man.
Nothing to watch.
And then, the world at my fingertips. I kind of miss. Do you know what store I think would do well? Blockbuster.
Now?
If I had a Blockbuster down the street and I could go bop in there and snag a couple of, I don't know, DVDs or whatever. I still have a DVD player. It's not plugged in, but I could.
Yeah.
And snag a couple DVDs and some popcorn and some peanut M&Ms or pick your favorite candy and rent a movie and then take it back. The nostalgia kick would be worth whatever amount of money that cost me.
No, I totally get that. But I also, like, I think what's missing from a lot of this now is you just scroll, and then you have all these recommendations of what to watch. And
yeah.
Even like someone told me, watch, what was the new John Cena movie?
Oh, God. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I watched it last night. For the life of me, I can't remember what the name of it is.
I couldn't see him the entire movie.
But part of the key to going to a video store was that you had your favorite video store person that kind of got you. So, like, first of all, I could remember anyone's phone number. And so they would walk in the door and I'd type in their phone number and pull up their account.
Ricky Stanicky.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the name of the movie.
Ricky Stanicky.
Stanicky. Oh, Stanicky.
Ricky Stanicky. Yeah. So, anyway, you would go in and, like, people would be like, yeah, I drive by all the time because you're not here. And then I wait till your car's out front and I stop. And I'm like, okay. They're like, what do you got for me? What should I watch? And so it's part of that like, wandering around the video store and looking at all these boxes and all these titles. I can tell you like what the box looks like for almost any movie ever, because I worked in a video store and that's how my memory works. I see the box. People go, have you seen this? I go, pull it up on my phone. Yeah, I've seen it. But you tell me, hey, have you seen this? I'm like, I don't know. I need to see the box. I see the box. Oh yeah. I've seen that. Yeah. I know this and this happened.
All right. Yeah. There. We got through the segment without talking any more Kings.
Amen.
Let's talk Kings. Dr. Nirav Pandya from UCSF. He is a professor of orthopedic surgery at UCSF. He's also the director of sports medicine at UCF Benioff Children's Hospital. All around great dude, big time sports fan, and is the only person I trust talking injuries. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about Kevin Herter's injury. We'll talk about Brandon Ingram's injury. What does that mean for the Kings? What does it mean for the Pelicans? All of that coming up next. I promise you're not going to want to miss this. He's a very engaging speaker who does great work making these medical things digestible for non-medical people. So tap into that. It's coming up next on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend.
My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.